Casey.
Hi, Akinyi.
How you doing?
I'm happy.
You're always happy.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Shoot.
What is love?
Love?
Yes.
Love is kindness to me. It's grace. It's your unending, wonderful smile. It is a good day. Love is a good day.
And what's romance?
I think romance to me is the style we put into love. You know, kind of like when you add sauce and spice to food. I think romance is that. It's like, you know, just color and a little gist to the grace. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I'm reading a novel about romance, so I just wanted your perspective. Thank you. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Semi-Scribble podcast, a show about reading books by Africans or people of Black descent that inspire us. I'm Akinyi, and I'll be taking you through books that inspire marginalia, books that changed your worldview and life. Stay tuned. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Semi-Scribble podcast. I'm your host, Akinyi, and today we'll be talking about On Rotation, a novel by Charlene Obuobi. Now, it would be remiss of me to come back here without acknowledging my absence. 2022 seems to be that year where I will be coming back here with this line that life has been lifing and things have been happening, but I'm happy to be back in this space. I have definitely been reading through it all. This book was one of the ways that I was escaping from the turmoils and tribulations of normal life. I decided to take myself on a little journey and explore a genre that I haven't delved into. Romance is a thing, it's important, and is required for wholesome human beings. I wanted to delve into the genre of romance with On Rotation to sort of figure out if I could really be taken up and involved with a book that has a heavy romantic theme. And On Rotation did that. On Rotation is about Angie Appiah. Angie Appiah is a firstborn daughter in an immigrant Ghanaian family living in the United States. She has a little sister known as Tabitha. Little is relative here. As you can see, the firstborn in me is jumping out. And she's a medical student. She's actually going into her fellowship for medicine. And when we meet Angie seems to be a little bit flustered because she's sat her exams. She's sort of going through this rough patch with her romantic partner. And there's a lot of expectation, as there usually is for firstborn daughters, for her to lead the way and light the path. Now, this theme of expectations and performance of roles in a family was also one of the major intricacies of this book that kept me in tune with what was happening. There's also a theme of community in the characters of the friends that surround Angie. Angie's best friend, Nia, is one of the pillars that are keeping Angie together as her life is going through this tumultuous period. What do I mean? Angie actually fails her exams. Fail being relative, but yes, Angie fails her exams. Angie is dumped by the quintessential perfect on paper CV that you take to your mother and father. You see your future white picket fences, or in the context of Kenya, your Runda mansion with this guy. And he dumps her just as her sister's romantic partner is planning this surprise engagement to the sister and is seeking the blessings of the family to do that. So we meet Angie at a point when her life is literally being turned upside down. None of these things fit the label of who she is as the firstborn, brilliant daughter. And Ghanaian in America, because that's another layer in there. That's a layer of you have to work twice as hard to get the minimum. You have to overperform, you have to excel, you have to be the best as a basic minimum. So Nia, Angie's best friend, is sort of this pillar that shows her that life goes beyond these constructs of performing, being the firstborn, intelligent, together, perfect partnered daughter. And I love Nia's character because Nia's character brings in the creative artistic side. She's a chef, like a pastry chef, and she's very free. That when I think of Nia, that's what I think. She's very free, very open to life and experiences. And she doesn't fit the conventional box of what quote-unquote a black woman should be in this narrative, which is beautiful. And she's the first point of call in terms of community for Angie. That also kind of hits a road bump. The beauty of this novel is that Angie has to fall in love with herself and discover what she wants from herself, what things she's okay doing, and what things she must shed off in order to fully embrace herself. And in embracing herself, she's able then to show up and embrace her community, which includes Nia. I mentioned that this is a romance novel, and I bet you haven't heard me reference anything romantic happening in this book yet. But there's a lot of romance that comes in because, yes, there is a love interest, and the love interest comes in the form of Ricky Gutierrez. Ricky is this handsome young man that Angie bumps into in a park after she's had one of those days that just requires a miracle to wash off all the negativity. And Ricky does just that. It's a meet cute, right? You meet this handsome guy in a park and you hit it off and they have a ball. Lots of laughter is involved. But this is where I sort of side-eye Angie's character, because Angie really was very much committed from meeting this guy, from meeting Ricky. They part ways in sort of like a bittersweet way, and she sort of catches feelings about how they're parting ways after their first meeting, because Ricky sort of indicates that he is in a relationship with somebody else. Her reaction is very visceral because she cannot understand how they can have had that wonderful meet cute brief interaction in this park when he's somebody else's boyfriend. And that's where the love story begins. Now, Ricky's character is similar to Nia's character. He's an artist in that he's a graphic designer. He also does his own artwork, is what I'd like to call it. And he's also quite a passionate character and passionate person, hence how that meet cute went really well. He's also funny, and from the descriptions in the book, he is quite handsome. Remember, Angie is Ghanaian and Ricky is Latin American. that's really one area of how are they going to navigate these different cultures. There's a lot of similarities, but there's also a lot of nervous anticipation because they do know that their families are steeped in this culture. Even from the very first meeting, these ideas sort of swirl around these two characters. An interesting read. I'm really trying not to emphasize on anything that could be a spoiler because I want you to go and purchase this book and listen to it or read it. You know how we do it here on Semi-Scribbled. I listened to this book, but I had a lot of fun. I love that it dispelled me of the notion that romance is very fluffy and light, because yes, this was a fun read. Yes, there's a lot of romance, there's a lot of spice in there, if that's your thing. But there were also other themes that really kept my engine going in pursuing and wanting to finish this book. The romance didn't feel stickly sweet. It really felt real. It felt tangible. The issues that the characters had to deal with in terms of traversing culture, getting over themselves and their egos. Because sometimes you just get in your own way. A lot of that was happening between these two characters, both on Ricky and Angie's side. A lot of getting in their own way. But it also demonstrated to me that I shouldn't think so narrowly about romance. Romance was also the friendship, how Angie and Nia courted each other back to best friendship. Your friends are not just your rocks, but they also need you to appear there for them, to be there, to be present for them, and to really demonstrate that, hey, I like being your friend and I want to continue being your friend. That was really interesting for me. Of course, you already know my theme is community. Community is my theme since reading Bell Hooks on love, and that's Bell Hooks' book about love, New Visions. It was really beautiful to see how that encapsulation of love in friendship came through in this book. It was beautiful. The book has some really sad sections, which requires family to sort of come together. And the demonstration of family without expectation, without that huge burden to sort of perform, with that huge burden of being the perfect member of a family, that demonstration or that juxtaposition between what Angie was going through, what Ricky was going through, what Nia was going through in their different families was really beautiful. On Rotation, yes, is a romance novel, but it's a deep novel. It has spice because, you know what I'm saying, but it also pleasantly pushes your thinking or your thoughts about what are the constructs of romance and what are the constructs of love. And I'm glad that I picked it up. I was looking to delve into the romance genre and sort of lose myself in fluffy clouds of sonnets and meet cutes. And I got that and a little bit more. And that little bit more made the romance feel so much better. My rating for this book is definitely a 4.8 out of 5. The 2 marks, I took away the 2 marks because probably I would have wanted a change of setting other than just them being in the US. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a beautiful book. I would highly, highly recommend that you read this book. In the Something to Note section, a lot has been happening because I have been away for a long time. I have also been outsiding. I've been out in the world doing things. And there's a lot of literary stuff happening. There was the Makondo Festival that happened in the beginning of October for a weekend, and the Makondo Festival was excellent.
Well, Makondo Literary Festival is an initiative of the Makondo Book Society, mm-hmm. founded by a German journalist mm-hmm. who's based in Kenya.
Yes.
Her name is Anya Bejosov, uh-huh. as well as an award-winning author from mm-hmm. Kenya known mm-hmm. as Yvonne Adhiambo Awor. Mm-hmm. So the main purpose of Makondo Book Society is to yes. promote African literature well beyond our linguistic borders.
I attended with my dear friend Linda Musita, and we were lucky to see Abdul Razak Garna discuss his writing journey with such flair and also with a removed piece that was so interesting. I really enjoyed his discussion about how he became a writer and how it was not an ambition. And you know how my feelings are about ambition if you go back and listen to, I think, my second episode where I talk about Such a Fun Age. That was beautiful. It was really interesting to listen to that. And the other panel that I enjoyed was the Tragedy, Horror, Dystopia, Hope and Earth Futures panel that was held on the Sunday afternoon. And it had my fave of all faves, Yvonne Adhiambo Awor, Abdoulaye Sila, Abdul Razak Garna, and Patrice Ngangnang. I hope I've said that right. And Patrice was a gem. I loved Patrice's outfit. I loved how he was laughing. I loved how he kept talking about language as a source code to create. That was beautiful. And I will try and find links for the Makondo Festival and share, but perfect. Perfection. There's also been a swirl of awards happening. Our favorite, Idza Luhumayo, won the Kane Prize. The Kane Prize. The Kane Prize was won by Idza Luhumayo, who from day one of this podcast, I have been singing her praises.
My delight to announce Idza Luhumayo.
Idza is a force of nature on a page, and she deserved it. And she won that for her story, I think 5 years, which is really about rainmaking and hair and culture and abandonment and neglect to me. That's my view of this story, but I'm going to put links. Idza deserves it. I'm not surprised. I am excited that she won that prize. So that was beautiful. Also, the House of Rust recently won an award.
And the winner of the inaugural Ursula K. Le Guin Prize is The House of Rust by Khadija Abdullah Bajaber.
The heart, craft, and humanity with which Ursula K. Le Guin approached the unfamiliar and the strange makes her one of the most beloved storytellers to readers and writers alike. So it is my honor to see The House of Rust, published by Grey Wolf Press, recognized now by this prize. I too have used the fantastic as a way to make familiar certain concepts and to understand certain things about the world and to investigate them. And one of these things is love.
That rounded up October in such a beautiful way. These African women writing African stories are getting the recognition that they deserve. I went to Downriver Road and Somanami's collaborative event called Rhymes and Reason, and it was featuring Linda Musita and Michael Onsando. That was community in action, community in person. It was beautiful, lovely to witness. We were hosted at the Somanami bookstore space. Downriver Road really did a beautiful job in bringing these two writers together. We talked about their short stories, the fiction and nonfiction. Please be sure, Michael Onsando writes nonfiction and detests fiction, as he told us, so I need to be careful about that. He talked about his poetry and how, for him, a good book is a true book, is a book that tells the truth. And that was profound. And Linda took us into her journey of writing and how she writes for the 80s babies who are growing up in the 90s and didn't have anybody to tell certain things to. And that's why her stories sound the way they sound. And that's why she's a huge fan of Nyashinsky. Guys, I couldn't have asked for anything better. For me, that was a beautiful event. I have been out here experiencing authors and experiencing literature in Nairobi, and it has been beautiful. And I am so happy and I'm so excited about it because there are more events to come in November, and I will definitely come back and share with you. So, what am I reading? I am reading too many things, as usual. I am reading the book Work Will Not Love You Back. I'll put a link to that in the description box, by Sarah Jaff. I hope I'm saying that right. I am reading Mona El-Tahawi's Headscarves and Hymens, which I was inspired to do after finding her book, The Seven Sins in Somebody's House, and loving it. Seeing a clip about her talking about the genesis of Headscarves and Hymens. So I'm reading that. I can't wait to talk about that. I'm also reading Bell Hooks' book Communion, and you know what Bell Hooks does to me, so I'll be back with info on that. Definitely still savoring House of Rust by Khadija Abdallah Bajaber. I am getting some time off in November. Time off in November means more time for Semi-Scribbled. So I hope to be dropping gems a little bit more often. I'm so glad that you are still here, even though I have been away. And I'm hoping that 2023 will not have as many absences as 2022, starting with November. I'd also like to know, what does romance and love mean to you? We started off this episode by asking ourselves, what is love and romance? And hearing about love and romance from our guest's perspective. Thank you very much, Rixie. But I'd like to know from you, what does love and romance mean to you? Drop that in the comment section on IG. Reply to the tweet on this episode on Twitter if that's where you found us. Or just drop us an email. That's all, folks. See you soon. I love you. I mean it. Bye. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Thank you to everyone who helped in the creation of this episode and to African authors for continuing to inspire us. Please subscribe to the podcast anywhere you access your favorite podcasts and follow us on social media at podcast_semi. That's at podcast_semi on all platforms. Until next time, Amakini. Bye.